Morning.
Thanks.
Well, let's hope it all makes sense this morning here. What a great, great song we just sang there. Thanks, worship team. All right, I was just checking to see if our slide is up there. So as I said last week, we are starting a new series in 1 Peter, Traveling the Path of Grace. So Traveling the Path of Grace, a journey through 1 Peter this summer. We'll see if we can make it because we're only going to do verses 1 and So I'm wondering if we're going to make it. It might be the summer and the fall. I don't know exactly how this series is going to go. But I was thinking, though, how many of you enjoy traveling? How many of you like traveling is fun? Okay, I'm one of those people. I enjoy traveling. And I know maybe some of us don't enjoy it as much, but we've all traveled, haven't we? We've all had to travel somewhere, been different places. And so one time in particular, I was traveling, and I landed in Addis Ababa. And I don't know if you guys know where Addis Ababa is, but just being able to say it sounds cool. You know, Addis Ababa. It's in Ethiopia, I think. So I landed in Addis Ababa, and I was traveling. I was actually traveling to visit my brother in Dar es Salaam. And so as I was traveling, at this time in the travels, it had been long trip, long flights. I was getting close to landing in Dar es Salaam after this stop here. And and we all know how it is when you're traveling. It's easy to become anxious. But as we landed there, I had to find my connecting flight. And I was a little anxious. I clearly stood out as an American. The big white bald guy, and the signs were in different languages. No one spoke English that I could find. And like I said, I had to get to the next gate. And sometimes that's how you feel in this world, isn't it? You're somewhere where you're not used to. Maybe it's a cool name or a cool place, but you find yourself in a place in this world, that you're not familiar with, that you are anxious about, that clearly you stand out as being a newbie or a new person in this area. But you know what? In this, God has a plan and purpose. And for me, my objective was to visit my brother. My objective was, this was a stopping point. I had a future goal. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about in our travels here that just like God has a purpose for us. So as we travel through this life, as we travel on this journey of grace, we have to understand that it's purposeful travel. I wasn't there to live or to stay in Addis Ababa. I was there to see my brother. And so for Peter, and for us as believers, we will see God's plan and purpose as we focus on him, as we travel on this path of grace. And so this morning in the introduction of our theme here, traveling on the path of grace, we will be discussing four things here: authorship, date, audience, and the theme of 1 Peter. So let's go ahead and start out and read our verses. I thought we were going to get farther this week, but we're not going to be able to. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. So our passage this morning: Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. So that's Peter's introduction here. And last week we looked at authorship. And I think it's pretty clear who the author is because it says it right. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So last week regarding Peter, we talked about at this time in his life, he had done ministry. He was a seasoned saint. The ones that are running to win. He's continuing to run the race and running it well. He has been in ministry for around 30 years now, placing the writing of 1 Peter around 60 AD. He has been loving his Lord Jesus as Jesus told him, Peter, do you love me? Right? Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep, tend my lamb. So he has been loving the Lord Jesus well. He has been leading the church. He has been shepherding the sheep, that the flock that God had given him. And as I said, when people like this speak, when seasoned saints speak, we listen, right? How they live, we watch. And what they do, we learn from. And one of these seasoned saints that I just have to, I think, talk about from our church today is John Lee. So John Lee, a couple weeks ago, I was visiting him in the hospital. And guess what John told me he had been doing as the different nurses and people had been coming in the room? He was running the race well. He was sharing the gospel. He was telling them about Christ. He was sharing his life with them. And so as I was thinking about Peter, I think John is a good example to us of a man who is running well, like Peter here. Like a seasoned saint. So what he says, we listen to, right? What he does, we think about. And so as we go on here, Peter was a man that started as an ordinary fisherman. We learned that last week. As an ordinary fisherman, as a disciple, and now as an apostle traveling the path of grace. And what was the main reason for Peter's apostleship? The thing that he credited to, that others credited to, is this, that he had been with Jesus. He had walked with Jesus. He had been loving Jesus. Jesus was his focus in his life. And so last week as well, we talked about traveling. So in our traveling the path of grace, traveling speaks to that we're just passing through. We know this earth is not our home. The path speaks to the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel. And grace is what we can be confident that God will supply. That God will supply the grace that is needed. So as we study 1 Peter, we will see in our travels from the Apostle Peter, that I said again last week, that encouragement is needed. We need encouragement as believers as we travel the path before us, the path of grace before us. Suffering and trials are to be expected. Because this is not our home. This is not our final place. So suffering and trials will be expected, and we'll see that in 1 Peter. Being witnesses of Christ and his cross is to be proclaimed, both audibly by our lives, by our actions, and by how we suffer or how we live our lives. And then lastly, confident expectation of our future hope is anticipated. That we can anticipate the future hope, our living hope, Christ, because of his resurrection and because of who he is, we anticipate being with him. So now as we have reviewed the authorship of 1 Peter, the date, as I said, was probably in the early 60s. Now, for some of you, that might bring back some good memories. I don't know. But I'm talking 60 A.D., okay? So that was a little further back. But the early 60 A.D., the first century there. So what was going on in the world at this time? What was going on that maybe is the reason or some of the circumstances behind the letter 1 Peter? And so for one interesting thing is here, Paul may have actually been in prison in Rome at this time. So Paul was waiting to appeal to Caesar, remember? And guess who was the Caesar at this time? It was Nero, the Emperor Nero. So Nero was in power. He started his reign from when he was 17 years old, from 54 to 68 AD. And so if we know anything about Nero, we know he was not a good guy, right? He was not a good guy. He persecuted the Christians, and he was known for that in history. A Roman historian Tacitus says this regarding Nero's reign. He said, covered with the skins of beasts, Christians were torn by dogs and perished, and were nailed to crosses, and were doomed to the flames and burnt, to serve as nightly illumination when daylight had expired. So Nero was terrible, terrible, specifically to Christians at this time. So Nero's use of Christians, actually this is well documented, that he used Christians and burned them to light the torches of his garden. And so what I want you to understand is Nero at this point in time, I don't believe this had quite started yet because he died in 68. He actually committed suicide. But later on, right near that time, so it would have been 65, 66, 67, Nero started doing really bad stuff. Okay, and not that he was a great guy before, but it's interesting as we think about when Peter is writing this, was this starting? Was it maybe already going on? I'm not sure. Or was it going to happen? So we're not positive, but this time in history was a very difficult time for believers. And then as you may remember, the Great Fire of Rome happened in 64 AD. And 3/4 of the city of Rome or nearly was burned. And guess who got blamed on? Nero blamed it on the Christians. Okay, so at this time in history, the sentiment against Christians was not great. The sentiment against Christians was not great. And so, like I said, whether the Lord knew the church at this time in these areas needed this letter, or they were already dealing with some of the persecution or some of the sentiment that was going on, it's reasonable for us to consider what was happening in history as well at this time. So Peter was also believed to be in Rome at this time of his writing as well. And we get this from 1 Peter 5:13. It says, she, regarding the church, who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends your greeting, and so does my son Mark. Now, you might be thinking it says Babylon up there, but most people believe it was Rome, and here's why. For the prophets in the Old Testament, they would name Babylon, the name Babylon became an archetype or model for a corrupt nation. And so what is believed here is that Peter is referring to Babylon in Rome, referring to Rome actually as Babylon, as this corrupt nation. And so it is believed that Peter is making reference to Rome as being the hub of corruption where he's at. Again, lots of different opinions out there, but most people believe he was writing from Rome, not actually Babylon. But you're welcome to study that out if you would like. And so at this time we have the date, we have the author. What about the audience? 3 questions regarding the audience when it comes to the book of 1 Peter. 1 is, where are they located? 2, who were these chosen aliens or elect exiles? And why were they scattered? So a few questions here. So let's go on. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again of 1 Peter. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So 5 different Roman provinces there, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. And so just in verse 1 there, I want to point out, in another translation in the English Standard Version, the ESV, the first one reads like this. To those who are elect exiles of the dispersion. And that's actually closer to how the Greek is, where it's these words right in order. The elect exiles of the dispersion. And then it lists the provinces there. And so in order for us to understand this, elect exiles is together, or chosen aliens is how it would read in the New American Standard. But anyways, where were they located? These 5 provinces would be Western Turkey. So if you're wondering, so modern day Western Turkey there. And then who were these elect aliens or chosen, or sorry, elect exiles or chosen aliens, depending on what translation we're looking at here? So the word aliens, as we have already seen, can be translated exiles, pilgrims, strangers, sojourners, or foreigners. So each of these describes someone who resides in a land temporarily that's not their home. So that's all it's saying. If you're an alien, you reside in a land temporarily that's not your home. If you're an exile, it's the same thing. So as we have described in our study, traveling through the path of grace, there are those of us, and what Peter was trying to point out here, that this is not our home, right? We're traveling through. And this is a central focus, of course, to 1 Peter. So for me, growing up overseas, growing up in Indonesia, I remember talking to Indonesians, and they would ask me, Tinggal di mana? That means, where are you from? Tinggal di mana? And I said, Saya tinggal di Idaho. And they'd be like, I don't know how to say this in Indonesian, but where's Idaho? Like, where's that? So guess what I had to point out to them, unfortunately. California. They all knew where California was. So here's California's here, and Idaho's up here. So anyways, it's my point is here, growing up overseas, like clearly them understanding where I'm from, what I'm used to, the culture that I know, they did not comprehend it. They did not know and understand how everything worked. But that's the same as when it's talking about here, that we're aliens in a world. Like we, our culture, the world, the influences that we have are coming against us. They're things that we have to deal with every day. People not understanding us totally because we are followers of Christ. And so clearly Peter is writing to believers here. We know that believers, the chosen aliens, the elect, right, the chosen, both Jewish and Gentile believers, I believe. And in 1 Peter, we see that Peter uses extensive Old Testament references. So there's many, many Old Testament references that we will find throughout 1 Peter. But there are also references or practices that he refers to that would be appalling to Jews as well. And so in both cases, some people have said, well, he's just writing to one group or the other, but it seems evident in my mind that Peter is writing to both Jews and Gentiles. So regarding the Jews living in those Roman provinces, in Acts 2:5 we read, when Peter was on the Sermon on the Mount there, sorry, the day of Pentecost. I said the Sermon on the Mount last week too. So during the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when Peter's preaching, it says this in verse 5. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And so there were Jews living in Jerusalem from these different places. And then it describes them in verse 9, which places, and two of the places that are written to, that Peter's referring to are written there, Pontus and Asia. So these devout men of the Jews, so clearly from the day of Pentecost, from Acts chapter 2, there were believers that were from, or there were people that put their faith in Christ very likely that were from this region, in modern day Western Turkey. There were also believed to be up to 4 million Jews living outside of the land of Israel this time as well. So it's reasonable that there is a large Jewish population in these provinces, in these Roman provinces. So regarding the Gentile world, we also know, because we just finished studying Galatians, right, that Galatia was a province, was a Roman province that Paul had already been to, and I believe had written about 10 to 12 years prior, written the book of Galatians. So clearly there were believers in these areas and that Peter was talking to here. So that being said, believers, both being Jewish believers and Gentile believers he's writing to. Now let's look at the word scattered. Why were they scattered? What's going on here? So the word scattered is where we get the word diaspora, is in our English word, diaspora. And dia means throughout, and spora means seed. So if you're just wondering in Greek, that's what it means. But diaspora was a technical term found in Jewish literature. And it was referring to the Jewish population living outside of Israel since the Babylonian captivity in 586 BC. So that's where the word scattered come from that we see here, in 1 Peter of chapter 1 verse 1 here. For the Jew in the Old Testament, being scattered signified disobedience and loss of blessing, according to Deuteronomy 27 and 28. So for a Jew, they needed to understand from Peter that this is no longer the case. As believers of the new covenant, if being scattered does not signify disobedience. Being scattered does not signify that somehow you're in sin. And we could go on and on about that, but it's very interesting to understand the background of what they might have been thinking. So Peter's reason for writing them to kind of clear up some of this is legitimate. It's important. But so in regards to this, instead, God had a purpose for them as chosen aliens, as these people who are scattered around. They're chosen aliens. And in Acts 1:8, we read the purpose here. Acts 1:8, it says, Jesus is telling his disciples, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Just stay at home in Jerusalem. No, we know that's not what he says. He did not say just stay at home in Jerusalem. What did he say? He says both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Now, does that sound like that they were going to have to leave the land of Israel to be scattered around? Yes, for sure. So it sounds like Jesus anticipates some scattering here and is telling his disciples that this is what needs to happen. So in Mark 16:15, I love this verse, super clear. Basically, Jesus says this, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That sums it up pretty well. Go. Going does not mean stay at home. Going means scattering, right? Going means spreading out. And so this idea of scattering is based on the very words of Christ here. So also we see in Acts 8:3-4, there's a great persecution of Christians began and people began to scatter. And so we see here, it says this, but Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. And then it says here, therefore, those who had been scattered went about and doing what? Preaching the word. So those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. And so this scattering thing is not a bad thing. The fact that you are a chosen alien out in the world is not a bad thing. It's ultimately what's being said here. Not only is it not a bad thing, it's actually God's purpose. It's actually God's plan for them. So going back to what the word scattered means, or diaspora, the Christian community, God, his people, his saints, his chosen ones, were to go to all the nations. So this is what Peter is trying to help the believers see. It's God's purpose and intent behind it, as I said. God is planting or scattering the seeds of Christianity. He's planting or scattering the seeds of Christianity. As a farmer purposes to plant seeds in fertile soil, that's what God is about. That's what he's doing. That's what his sovereign plan is, his foreknowledge that we see here. So how are they living as God's chosen aliens or scattered? So regarding God's purpose of scattering his chosen aliens, we see three statements from verse 2. They're scattered, they're chosen, and aliens chosen and aliens according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit and to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. Those are the things that Peter brings out here. These three things. So what are some observations we have from these statements? The first that's very clear and very cool, very interesting to see for us, is the Trinity is involved in this. The Trinity is involved in what Peter is explaining. So we see here God the Father, the work of the Spirit, and the obedience of Jesus Christ. So clearly we see the Trinity is involved. And this tells us this is not just some plan of the church in Jerusalem. This is not just some plan of Peter or Paul. This is God's plan. Where they're at, why they're there, why the scattering in a sense has happened is this God's plan and intent. So in this passage we see the foreknowledge talked about here, the knowledge that God the Father knew beforehand. He knew this would happen. He knew that these people would be spread out. They were chosen, in a sense, to be spread out in this. So in other words, you could say it like this, that they were chosen according to the foreknowledge of God based on these three prepositions. They were chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. They were chosen by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ, and they were chosen to be sprinkled with his blood. And they were also aliens. They were also aliens or strangers according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. They were also aliens or strangers by the sanctifying work of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and they were also aliens or strangers to be sprinkled with his blood. So God has a specific plan and purpose for his people, is what we see. God has a specific plan and purpose for his people. Now, I didn't get into the foreknowledge and chosen as much. I know there's much discussion about that. But this morning, just want to focus on the reason behind their choosing is God had a purposeful intent to accomplish his ultimate sovereign plan, which is to reach the world for Christ, right? To reach the world with the gospel. So God had a specific plan and purpose for his people. He had a plan and purpose for where they are regarding location. He had a plan and purpose for what they were going to deal with or dealing with, and a plan and purpose for what might happen with them. So these things do not catch God by surprise, do they? In fact, according to these three statements, it's all part of God's eternal purposes, his eternal plan, his plan from creation onward, his plan in recognition that Christ would have to come and die for the sins of the people, for our sins. So his eternal purposes. All these statements and God's children and citizens of heaven here is true of us as well, isn't it? But do I live like this? Do I recognize that I am chosen by God, placed where I'm at for a specific reason? That he has a purpose behind it. He has a plan there. So how do I live? How do you live regarding where we're at, what we're dealing with, what might be happening around us? God somehow, in his incredible sovereignty and foreknowledge, intends to use for our good where we're at, what we're doing, what's happening to us regarding his eternal purposes. So just as Jesus says in Mark 16:15, he says, go. So Paul was not at home but in prison. Peter was not at home but in Rome. And these people were not at home but scattered. So this should prompt a question for us. Do I live today as if I was home, only focusing and prioritizing my own comfort, my own desires, my own fun and entertainment, my own health? Or am I living with God's eternal purposes in view? Am I living with God's eternal purposes in view? Am I living each day with the awareness that I am not fully home, and that my work as an ambassador for Christ, as 2 Corinthians 5 says, as a chosen alien on this earth, is still ongoing? Can you imagine the President of the United States writing a memo to his ambassador saying, I know you're away from home, so just try to get through it. Right? Or I know you're away from home, so just try to have fun. No, he would say, whatever happens, whatever the situation you find yourself in, whatever you might be dealing with, represent me in your citizenship well. Represent me in your citizenship well. Because I chose you as an ambassador. I chose you as an ambassador in a foreign country to represent me and your country well. And that is what God is saying to us and to these people here. I chose you as an ambassador for me. You are a chosen alien in this country to represent me well. To represent me well. So this brings us to the next statement. Since we are chosen aliens, ambassadors, how can I represent God, my Father, well? I know myself. I know my weaknesses. I like to take the path of least resistance, to choose the easy way out, to give in to the attractions of the world. And do you not think the people in Peter's day were thinking the same thing? Do you not think that they were recognizing, if this persecution comes, I want to take the easy way out? As my struggles in life happen, I want to take the easy way out. I know myself. I know when I am ridiculed by the world or looked down upon because of my relationship with Christ, it is easy to deny him and what I believe. Now remember, who is writing this book? Who is inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this? It's someone who recognized that when pressure came, they denied Christ. Right? They were sifted in a sense, as we talked about last week, by Satan and denied Christ. Peter understood this. Peter understood what he was saying. He was being an encouragement to them. But this is a reality. We know ourselves. So how can I, as a chosen alien, a representative of my Father in heaven, represent my Father well? Because God, our gracious Heavenly Father, has given us the ability to do the task. And we see that in the next statement here. By the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ. That's the answer. Who is going to give us the ability to obey the Son? Who's going to give us the ability to obey Christ, to live as he lived, to represent him well? It's the Spirit of God in us. The Spirit of God working through us, the Spirit of God that we look to and depend upon. We talked about this a lot in Galatians. The Spirit of God that supplies what we need both to will and to do his work, his service. And so it's the Spirit of God. So we learned, and not only that, he has set us apart or established us as his special representatives. And that's what the term here means, sprinkled with his blood. That we are special representatives of him. That he's not only going to provide us the ability to do it, but he's made us his special representatives. We are sprinkled with his blood. Just like he did, or just like God did through Moses in Leviticus 8:30, if you want to look that up sometime. Just like God did through Moses in Leviticus 8:30, when he chose the tribe of Levi as his special representatives, as priests, in that Moses sprinkled the blood from the altar on Aaron and his sons. So in sprinkling the blood was a representative that God chose specifically the priesthood here. In the same way, through the blood of Christ, God the Father has chosen us as his special representatives, as foreign aliens, in a sense, in a distant land. And so that's what it's saying here. And we know that from 1 Peter 2:9-10, where it says this: but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. And that's pretty incredible there. That's what we've been talking about. This is who we are. But for what reason? So that, Again, God has given us a task as His ambassadors, as His chosen aliens. He's given us a task in this life so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's the task. That's what we have before us. That's why we are on this earth, and we're just, in a sense, passing through as chosen aliens, as chosen representatives of Him. In verse 10, it says, "For you were once not a people, but now you are a people of God." This sprinkling, this we are representatives of Jesus through God here, through what this is saying. "For you were once not a people, but now you are a people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So Peter then, in his closing to the introduction here, he says, "May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure." Although this is a typical Christian greeting, are these chosen aliens, or are we as God's chosen as well, need a supply of His grace, don't we? So where it says, may grace and peace be yours to the fullest measure. So when we think about this, we need grace. In this greeting, Peter is saying, not only he's going to supply it, grace and peace, but he's going to supply it abundantly. The where we get the word plethora is this word fullest measure is where we get the word plethora. So through God, through Christ, as His chosen representatives, we have grace and mercy. And not just a little bit, we have a plethora of it. We have an abundance of it. And so, again, it's a recognition of that God's not only going to give us the task, He's going to provide us with the ability to do it and put us in the location to do it from, that we believe that, yes, we are representing our Father. And so this wraps up Peter's introduction and gives us a good description of what we will be getting into in our study. But then the last thing here is the theme of the book. So to give us a little more clarity, let's look at 1 Peter 5:10. Now, I chose this as a theme of the book. There's a couple other verses people pick. But 1 Peter 5:10, to end off here on the introduction, is a theme. In verse 10, it says this: "After you have suffered for a little while," and we all know this earth, we're going to suffer. We do suffer. We deal with life here. "The God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself." So He's going to do these things: perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And that's what hope we look forward to, is that, yes, we're going to go through circumstances. Yes, we're going to go through difficulties. Yes, we're going to represent Christ, but He is going to provide what is needed. And He Himself, at the end of the day, at the end of our lives, when we see our Savior face to face, He Himself is the one who will perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish us. It's His work. It's His doing. It's His purpose. It's His choosing us the privilege to be a part of what He's doing. And so I want to finish with a story. And the story is this, because I think it has to do with this. You can determine for yourself. But during the Vietnam War, the CIA recruited a certain people group. And they were the Hmong people. I don't know if you've heard of this before. It's from what I understand, they recruited a certain people group to help them. And during the withdrawal of Vietnam, they brought many of the Hmong back to the U.S. And so you may have met a Hmong person. You may know, may have friends. Anyways, a great group of people, but they were a scattered people. They're scattered over China, Cambodia, Vietnam. And one particular Hmong man came to know Christ. He was saved. And he even though he was already scattered from his own country and our country, he left California and went to the Philippines. And he went to the Philippines to start a radio station. So he could reach the Hmong people. And guess what communist Vietnam decided to do? Communist Vietnam decided to give out radios to the indigenous people, the people scattered way out in the jungles, in order so they could teach them their propaganda. Now, was God at work here? Did God have a plan and a purpose, you think, in all this? And so they were given radios, right? So guess what happened? Sorry. Many of the Hmong people in northern Vietnam are believers today because of this. Now, the story doesn't end there. So a few years ago, Carl and I, we had a chance to go and be a part of teaching some of these Hmong church leaders. I didn't really do much other than watch and help, but teaching the Hmong, some Hmong church leaders through the Bible. And someone else left their home and translated a single lady from England and translated these lessons into the Hmong language. So it took many years to learn the Hmong language. So here's my point, is that God has used different people scattered throughout Vietnam, England, the U.S., the Vietnam War, for his purposes. Even Carla and I got to play a part in a teeny little small degree, so that his name, so that his gospel, through these chosen aliens, through these believers, would be known and recognized and understood. And I just couldn't help but to think that how God uses these situations, these terrible circumstances, these trials of persecution to allow his name to go forth. And so in closing here this morning, and the worship team can come up here, do we see ourselves as these chosen aliens in this world? Do we recognize that we are empowered to live through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Christ, to have a part of God's eternal plan to redeem mankind? Do we realize that? In a few just practical things that if we do, and I believe we do at this church, is let's get off the couch, right? Let's get off the couch. Let's walk across the room to talk to someone. Let's invite someone over. Let's go to an event that we know maybe we can have some encouragement, some impact. Or it could be like this Filipino or this Hmong man that left the comfort of the U.S. and moved to the Philippines to start a radio station. But ultimately, let's reach our world for Christ. Let's recognize that we are chosen people. This world is not our home, and let's not allow it to be our home. And I believe that that's the intent in the introduction that Peter is getting at here. That yes, they're scattered. Yes, you're aliens. Yes, you don't always know what's going on. Yes, there's going to be persecution from Nero, but God in his sovereignty has a plan in all of it. Let me close in prayer and then we'll turn it over. Lord, we just praise you for your word. We praise you for the encouragement we find in it. We just thank you for remembering you and your sacrifice today, Lord. And Lord, all of us here, I know, are going through things. There's things in our lives. There's things that come up, Lord, but we're just trusting that your sanctifying work of the Spirit will produce in us what we cannot produce ourselves. And that, Lord, we will recognize we're chosen by you to live a life that reflects you and reflects who you are in our citizenship in heaven, Lord. And we praise you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.